I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f***?
It's two of your favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins episode. It's your boy Chief Sut, joined by everyone's favorite guest, Mr. Ware. Zachary, how are you feeling today?
Friday, feeling good. Weekend's ahead of us. Back to football. No more bye week. I think it's going to be a good weekend.
Love to hear it. And before we get too far, make sure you guys follow the show at Day One Dolphins. Make sure you follow our road dog, Mr. Ouch, a.k.a. Mr. Carry the Torch, out. He's definitely got to change his Twitter name now because we're getting to a point where there's not pain. But I don't want to count our chickens and do all that stuff. Make sure you follow him at OuchFinsYY. Make sure you follow me at Chief Sut on basically everything. I wanted to actually ask you as well, Mr. Zach. I know you're married to the dark side. As you know, I have multiple coworkers at 5-11 that are also on the dark side. One of them admitted last night, like, you know, man, we're not even going to make the playoffs. And I almost teared up. I high-fived her and just thanked her for her kind words. But how's the vibe over there?
He doesn't want to make the playoffs. Like, I've got her so ingrained in roster building and understanding, like, that even if they make it, they're you know, SOL. And, you know what I'm talking about there. So I just think they're a flawed roster, overestimated roster. So she gets it. She fell asleep by halftime this
no
week.
No way.
Yeah, she's been falling. I mean, they've also been late primetime games. They've been force-feeding us and the Jets, those
it's
guys.
True.
So, yeah, it does not seem good. I told her, though, you know, the last night's injury, the Bengals losing again. I think, you know, if they can beat the Jets, they could, you know, they just got to pull off one big victory, whether it's the Chiefs, which I'm on board for them beating the Chiefs. I think you are, too, just to get back in that potential top seed race.
Nah.
So, nah. Bury them. Put them in the ground.
Bury them.
Do you hate them more than the Jets right now? Like, are you like, the Bills bother you more than
That's a funny conversation because I think so.
Okay.
Just because they had so much attitude going into every season. And this season specifically, I was starting to, you know, we were putting the war cries out that Tua is better than Josh Allen. And the way Bills Nation, Bills Mafia, if you will, they're not looking really tough right now. So I don't know if we're calling them a mafia, but Bills Nation was coming at my head like I was on drugs. Why are you guys so entitled? This dude is mid. He's Captain Mid, and then when he plays us, he's Captain America because he hates Christian Wilkins.
He is absolutely absurd against us. I'll just say this. I think he's in a situation where, you know, I don't think he's mid. I think he's a top end talent from a physicality perspective. But I think one of the most overrated things in football is arm velocity, how fast you throw the ball. And I watched a pick, the other night. You know, they're playing the Broncos. And he doesn't have to laser it in there, man. Like, he actually threw himself into an interception, even though Gabe Davis, you know, Stonehands Davis, it goes through his hands into the other team. But it's like, dude, you do not have to rip that ball like that. And I just think he looks forced. He looks out of it. I think a change is necessary there. I heard a wild take on, First Take or whatever, one of those FS shows from James Jones. He thinks Josh Allen's going to be traded. And I was like, you sent me that. I'm sorry. That's wild. I don't think that. I think the city of Buffalo, state of Western New York, because it's completely separate from the city, loves that man. And I think they would get rid of McDermott, even Bean, you 100%. Know, ownership. But that's where I'm going. And I think, if anything, I would get a new coach. I think offensive minds are the way to go. It's done wonders for us. You know, biggest thing I fear is them getting a guy like Ben Johnson from Detroit. Or like, I don't need that, but
get a college guy. We were just talking about Mac Brown. He's been doing really good. Give him a shot at the NFL, huh?
Yeah,
go old
I mean,
school.
The AFC East window, I mean, honestly, man, health considering, if we can, you know, we're going to need to draft well these next couple of years, but I think the window's closing on Buffalo. They're going to need to rebuild to open that back up. I think the Jets sold their soul for, you know, you know, Captain Johnson and Johnson there. And I actually welcome him to come back for that second Jets game. I would welcome him down to Miami, you know, with his walk and his gait behind that O-line for his first game, second game back after surgery, rushing it back. Yeah, I actually hope that happens between you and I.
Yeah, he'd be done.
But we're not on the Jets. We're on the Raiders.
And we are onto the Raiders, but before we're onto the Raiders, the only thing with that James Jones clip, he had me up until he talked about Josh Allen getting traded. There's no way that happens. But when he talked about Milano, you don't know how he's going to look coming back. Both of your safeties are old. You got some financial problems coming up. That team is going to look completely different next year, and I do believe that actual team's Super Bowl window is closed. It's going to be a completely different team, and right now they're going to have to get through. As you can see, they're not just a one or two seed pounding through people right now. There isn't really a clear one or two seed pounding through anyone. It's pretty balanced up at the top, and honestly, we're throwing hands. More importantly, we can throw bigger hands if we come out of this Raiders game with a dub. Because 7-3 is a lot nicer than 6-4.
6-4, like, honestly, you come out of the bye week, you drop this game where, you know, we've been cleaning up on these 500 and under, right, that everyone wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6-4 scares me. You're only a game up in the division again, right? You're back to that, you know, where we're a game and a half.
With two Jets games.
With two Jets games and a Bills game, right? Mm-hmm. God forbid. So you can lose this, do everything else you need to do, lose those three division games. You may not even win the division. So yeah, it's every game matters. It's so incremental. It would be so nice if we had that Chiefs or, you know, Chiefs game, to be quite honest. I think that's the one that we all would have loved to have the most because it means the most long term, but we're past it. I think the bye week came at a perfect time. We're a lot healthier, save the interior O-line, which hopefully in a week or so they'll be back. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I think we came out of the bye last year. Remember that Texans game was like 30-0 at half, a little shaky in the second half, but we were hot, like boom. Humming. So, and it's a good team, you know, it's a good team to face. I love their story with Antonio Pierce, you know, who was a hell of a player for the Giants. But I you know, they beat up on, you know, Danny DeVito's nephew, Tommy, and then my least favorite Zach, you know, Wilson. But that's, you know,
you're on fire today, Bub. You had your coffee, didn't you?
I've been up for a while, so I'm good. But yeah, no, I think this is going to be a good opportunity for us. I love these two jerseys. Like, I wish we were throwing throwbacks. I love the Raiders kits.
Yeah,
I love ours.
Just like, the classic.
This is a 70. I mean, these teams used to kick the shit out of each other in the 70s. I would have loved to see those matchups. But
this is an old school matchup, bro.
These are two elite franchises that you could arguably say the last 20 years have fallen on hard times. You put their records up until the year probably 2005. I bet they would have probably been in the top three winningest franchise right there with the Steelers and the Cowboys, something like that. You know,
and now you say hard times. Yeah, bro.
Now it's the Patriots up there.
We lose a first round pick due to some alleged collusion. Mm-hmm. They lose a first round pick due to DUI vehicular manslaughter.
Jesus.
And then they keep losing picks and players and all kinds of stuff to just the weirdest situations. They lost a coach to a bunch of emails. Like, they spent a lot of money on Gruden and just kind of had to burn it all away.
He'd still be there. That's my feeling. He was doing enough things, and I wouldn't be shocked if he finds a way to get back in there. But I think, you know, McDaniels, I knew that wasn't going to work. I mean, that guy,
the
Patriot way doesn't work, man. Stop trying to do it. It was, you know, Tom's way, you know, and people put up with Bill's shenanigans in the, you know, living like they're in gosh darn, you know, Rikers Island up there because they won with Tom. Winning cures everything. I think, you know, I put up with a lot of shit. You give me five Super Bowls, six Super Bowls.
You're absolutely right.
We'll play special teams. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, bro. I'm out there, but so. No. I think they're in a funky position, but the way the game's going to go, it is more on the old school tip like we're talking about. specifically with we need to run the ball and they need to run the ball. The only real reality where they beat us, if we were going to talk hypotheticals because we're not cocky over here, but they could beat us. It's the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody. But they would win in a world where Josh Jacobs gets like 30 carries for like 250, which he's a guy that could do something like that if you let him. As of right now, they have the fourth lowest rushing yards in the league. But, you know, that doesn't mean he still isn't that kind of guy if you don't hold him. You know what I mean?
He's got 216 total touches this year so far. Yeah. I was looking at it, I was like, wow, like that is some Ricky Williams, Dave Wannstedt-esque usage. Like 186 carries. You know, like you said, not a lot of yards. He's only averaging 3.3 a clip, which isn't, you know, his typical, especially being the leading rusher last year. But he's got 30 catches. He does it all. He's a true back. I think you're going to see a strategy. You know, Antonio Pierce being a defensive guy, I think he knows playing a high-octane offense a la the 2007 Patriots that he beat in the goddamn Super Bowl. You got to take the ball out of the weapon's hands. And how do you do that? By controlling the clock. So I could see them coming out and doing this two runs, play action, grind it for, you know, 6, 7, 8 minute drives, attempting to, right? Of course, they got to succeed in it.
Got to try.
But that's my feeling, is you're going to see that same type of strategy, you know, similar to what the Eagles were doing at parts against us, especially in the second half. But, you know, the good thing is we're facing a rookie QB, a fourth round rookie QB. This isn't, you know, CJ Stroud. You know.
I was about to say he's not anyone lighting the world on fire. You know, he's Aiden O'Connell, and he sounds exactly like what his name would make him sound like he would look like.
If I were to tell you a part of the country with that name that he'd be from, where would you guess?
He feels like an Iowa, like a Midwesterner. Maybe even
you were Illinois, but that's not bad. But you know that Midwest. Yeah. Then he, you know, went over to Purdue, right?
Jumped
right over to Indiana. He's a Boilermaker. He said, "I ain't going far from home. Mom can still wash the clothes.
Mom and Pa can hear me on the radio from there.
Oh, Mom and Pa, come over. We'll meet up in Chicago, the big city." But yeah, 675 yards, 2 TDs, 3 picks on the year, 22 QBR.
Let's get it.
Yeah, I mean, big pocket QB, slow feet, teams having success sitting and attacking his comeback routes. All those things lead into Vic playing, you know, the strategy game against a young QB. We were talking about it earlier. Reminds me of a guy that, believe it or not, just got a workout in Cleveland today because he ain't dead. He reminds me of a poor man's Joe Flacco.
They did not work out. Playoff Joe.
Mm-hmm. Check on the formerly known Twitter, a.k.a. X. Yeah.
That would be so awesome if Flacco comes back for the playoffs and pushes him.
He's got the long, you know, the long throwing motion. Everything's kind of slow, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, so, you know, best thing he's got, you know, a stud left tackle if he plays this week in Colton Miller, you know, which keeps his blind side. But I like what Chubb's been doing against some really talented premier left tackles, especially, you know, we've seen our guys against an ailing, you know, Hall of Famer and Lane Johnson where, you know, even though nobody's talked about it, he definitely let up a sack and a half against us that game. I could see a similar situation, you know, even if he plays, he's a little ailing. We grind on him with, you know, all right, you know, three talented rushers that we can interchange. So I think that's a good thing.
I think they're going to have to try to get the ball out quickly to the Jacoby Myers and the Davante Adams of the world. But like you said, with that slow throwing motion, we have the secondary to just kind of play man and just jump anything that we feel like jumping, send some exotic blitzes and just try to confuse them a little bit. But even if Colton Miller is fully healthy, we're finally at a point where our defense is basically the healthy side of the ball, like fully healthy. And we've been seeing what they can do fully healthy. And they're humming right now. This is the last thing I would want to see as a rookie quarterback. And if you're our defensive meeting room, your mouths are watering. You guys are taking bets on who's going to get the most sacks, who's going to pick him off first, who's going to run it back. Like, this is something to get fired up about. Obviously, you don't want to get cocky, but this is a smash spot, if you will. Like,
this is like, please, if you're a defensive player, you know how they get you the wedding cake if you score a touchdown? That's a wedding cake game. Like, yeah. You're already thinking, like, oh, yeah, I want, like, chocolate with vanilla icing. That's what I need. Yep. So,
and just like you said, bro, he's played two games. And, like, his stats aren't all worldly. They're just winning off the vibes right now. Every team gets that, you know, interim coach boost. But this isn't about to be some team that goes on a run to close the season. That'd be really cute and everything like that.
I would be pretty shocked with him. Like, if Jimmy, you know, and I'm not a huge Jimmy fan, but if you were to tell me they've won two in a row, they're back in the wild card mix and Jimmy's playing QB, I would have believed that. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe if Jimmy was playing, we still would have faced Aiden because we've knocked Jimmy out of every game we've played against him.
Thank you for mentioning that. Right? I was so
we would have seen Aiden. We would have had to talk about him. So it doesn't matter. You know, I guess maybe we'll do the reverse. You know, we'll get a little Jimmy at the end. I don't know.
Wow.
You mentioned Jacoby Myers. He's having a good year. I mean, Patriots letting him go is a blessing in disguise for us. You know, Adams, what can we say about Davante Adams? I think you and I would agree he's a top five wide receiver at this stage, arguably been the top receiver, you know, the last 5 years. You could switch him out with Tyreek or Jefferson lately. He produces with everybody, man. I was shocked what I saw last year. He had like his arguably second, third best season of his career, and I think he had three different QBs last year. You know, and I think he's had three different QBs this year with Brian Hoyer, Aiden O'Connell, and Jimmy. I mean, guy just produces.
It's what you get when you have a fundamentalist. He is like a true fundamentalist. And as you were talking about him, I'm realizing we're going to get some really, really good film. Whether he's matched up with X most of the game, if they throw some Ramsey on him, if he jumps in the slot and gets Cater. We have some fundamentalists in the secondary. Them versus him is going to be fun to watch. Whichever way it goes.
Don't be shocked at that. I could see them doing double tight ends with twins where they actually are forcing Cater to cover Devontae. Because I think every team now, they look at, okay, let's look at the Dolphins secondary. They've got top graded safety, so we're going to be mindful of that guy. They've got a budding Hall of Famer who has been all pro in Jalen Ramsey. Another guy who's been all pro, who's the leading interceptor the past 5 years. So who are you going to choose? Well, I'm going to choose the guy who was an undrafted, you know, slot QB, who I think you and I can agree he's had some struggles put in some tough situations against, you know, the pass. But I believe in Cater. I don't want him guarding Devontae all game. If that starts to happen, that's where you go and you shift Jalen inside with his versatility. If he's getting beat.
Because he can do it, man.
Because he can do it. And then you go big nickel. You bring Jalen inside with Cater, and then you bring Needham on the outside. I know. Oof. I know, but I would rather have more applesauce. Bring applesauce back. I don't give a
No, you didn't. No, you did not just say that.
I would be if Devontae's in the slot eating and Cater can't handle it. There's only one person I'm putting in there, and that's the other all pro on our side. That's it. I don't think Needham's gonna do a better job in the slot against Devontae than him. And applesauce, I don't know, man. Just whatever. But
I just can't believe you actually said his name positively. You've been the biggest anti-applesauce.
I forget he's there until he gives up a play, and then I just see him, and then I just remember he's like a terrible person too. So
you snot.
I'm like, ah, shit. But where are we at? So. Yeah, I think
it's gonna be good.
Myers is good. Renfro's done nothing this year. They kind of phased him out, and he's been a player for them. The one guy who's been coming on a little bit, rookie to rookie action, is that Notre Dame tight end. You know, we love our Notre Dame tight ends.
Michael Mayer,
the mayor of Las Vegas.
Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Halloween.
He was good. I mean, he's big hands. He can block. He's kind of like a true Y tight end that lines in line. And I,
you can
I
say
like
it. He's a true cornbread.
He's a white, like Durham before him.
His passion.
Kyle Rudolph
before
him. It is a passion. It is a passion. I can't think of one non-white tight end from Notre Dame.
That's all they find. Great, though.
I know, but that's all they find.
I would have loved to have drafted him, but I'm still okay with our draft. I would like to see more Cam Smith, but. I think
you
we could
think,
all agree.
Redshirt year? I don't know. I'm not convinced. There's not one part of me that's convinced he's a bust because we haven't seen him. My big thing is I feel like the front office is so shell-shocked after the Igbinoghany situation. Because they think that I think they thought it was a shoo-in. They're like, all right, this kid will you know. But every time they put him out there, man, outside of that one interception to end the game against Kenny Two Gloves, Kenny stick it. You and I know he's booty. he's booty. He's not playing in Dallas, and they need him over there.
Y'all say that, but his first game as a Cowboy, he scored a touchdown.
That was the worst. That was tight. It's like, ooh, look what I found, a ball. I'm going to run. Somebody had to point him the right way, though. Don't even start with me.
I don't care. He got there. Big-time players make big-time plays.
But, you know what we got to talk about, though, is the one area that I think on, you know, going against the Raiders offense. You know, we talked about Colton Miller, who is, I think, the second highest graded left tackle from UCLA. He's been good, you know, most years he's been there. But the rest of that O-line, Dylan Parham from Memphis, second year guard. Andre James, I don't really know anything about his background. I've never seen him mentioned as a top center. Greg Van Roten, I think he's bounced around a few years. Remember him being in Buffalo, maybe the Rams. And then Thayer Munford, Ohio State, big guy. But if I remember correctly, he lost his job to DeJuan Jones at Ohio State, and he was a backup last year. So Jalen Phillips, he's the one that you're talking about in the locker room probably drooling over what he can do this coming week.
And of course, don't ever sleep on our best pass rusher, Thor. Van Ginks, dude.
The Flying Dutchman, dude.
He is going to eat. Because he comes in so sporadically, and they always just find a way, or he just finds a way to be in the proper position. Whether it's just he doesn't bite or take a bad angle most of the time when he's rushing, or he doesn't get too far upfield. Doesn't matter if he's blitzing or just playing run support. He just finds himself in the right spot. And I don't know. This is one of those games where we're going to try to confuse a young quarterback. And the last person you want to see when you're confused is Andrew Van Ginkle. Because that's when he scoops and scores or picks you off or does some weird funky stuff. But I do agree. Jalen Phillips, you got to get 2 sacks. You and Chubb got to be racing for sacks this game.
Like, I think this is a 4-plus sack game overall for the defense.
Mm-hmm. How many picks?
2.
I would like 3, but I'm satisfied with 2 picks.
Two picks and a fumble recovery. There's a strip sack, you know, sack fumble, you know, whatever you want to call it. And let's go with Phillips gets the strip sack, and Sealer recovers it again because he seems to be everywhere.
He's a magnet, man.
Yeah.
God, I love that guy.
Yeah. But I think that's a big area. I mean, they're 31st in yards per game at 275. They're scoring 17.2 points, which is 27th in the league. Even in our games where we're playing our worst, which is against all the top teams, we're averaging, I think, more than 17 points a game. You know, so a lot of things in our favor there. I do think their defense is playing better than they look on paper. I don't look at their defense and go, ooh, like, you know. I would say the worst on paper defense we faced this year was probably the Giants. Even though the Broncos gave up 70, I still didn't think their defense on paper. But these guys remind me of like the Panthers, where they've got a really good defensive end that you got to worry about. Mm-hmm. You got a linebacker that's physical in Spillane.
Spillane's good. He shows up all over the place.
I would say he's Pro Bowl, if not, you know, second, third team All Pro with his stats, man. He's got 81 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 3 picks, 1 fumble recovery, and 3 passes defensed.
Love it. And he shows up on film every game. Anytime you watch them, you see Spillane on the ball.
His coach loves him. I mean, he talks about building a team around him, which sounds a little wild to me, but I think the best player, you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean the linebacker doesn't think you should build a team around a linebacker, dude? Like,
you want to build a team around a non-white quarterback? Non-quarterback? That doesn't sound smart. But the best player on their defense is Max Crosby. He's another
non-white player that's just completely built different. And he's in that Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, essentially unblockable category, where you're going to slow him down, you're going to get in his way, and yeah, you're going to, you know, halt him a few times, but he's going to get his. His might not be 2-3 sacks. He's capable of that. I hope he doesn't get 2-3 sacks, but there is a reality where that happens. He's going to get his tackles for a loss. He's going to cause some pressures. He's going to make Tua run out of the pocket a couple times. You just know it's going to happen, but Teron playing would be awesome.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
They're moving. You know, the thing about Max is I think – I don't necessarily know if he's the specialty pass rusher like a Myles Garrett or the technician like a TJ Watt, but he's relentless. Like he goes. Mm-hmm. He's got nearly 60 tackles. You're talking the top sack leaders. There's nobody even, you know, Daniel Hunter has 48. So
I was about to say they're touching 40s,
right? But not much behind it.
He's got 10 sacks to go with 60 tackles. That's like.
But I mean, he's had some games where like he goes 0-for. Like last week he didn't have a sack. Then he had 3 against the Giants. So he's got a little boomer bust, but the thing is he plays the run so well. He's a true, yep. You know, edge setter, tone setter. Reminds me a lot of Jared Allen. We were talking about that earlier, mm-hmm. You know, in that kind of mold, you know, just country strong, but goes to the barbecues, you know. But I think he's somebody we got to be mindful of. This is the biggest test that Austin Jackson has had this year. I will go absolutely. On record as saying that to this point. And I would resign Austin Jackson. I'm just saying that's how well he's played. And I don't think you've had a bigger detractor than of him than me because I focus so much on O-line. But, yeah, he's got to do well. But do not leave him by himself on an island. That is – nobody can cover Max on an island. You chip him, you know, help with him. Please don't leave him unblocked on run plays with those little sweep motion. Golly, that will drive us up a wall. But – what do you think of the rest of their D-line?
Not crazily impressed. I mean, I haven't watched too much of them, but I was looking up a bunch of their stats and just trying to like dig a little bit more into them. That Tyree Wilson dude kind of looks like somebody that you would make in Madden, kind of similar to our Jalen Phillips.
Just like, so big. He looks like he looks like somebody who could fight on a Game of Thrones like. You know, game like you choose your character. I'll take Tyree Wilson against the Mountain.
Yeah, bro, like just tremendous. What's Buddy from what's it from so the Bucks? Big. Joe Tryon Sri Lanka, that big. Yeah, that big.
Remember Sean Oakley from Baylor? Remember seeing him with his
bro. Yeah,
like that's like what I think of this guy. I'm like Jesus, but like he's, you know, he is extremely. Forceful, but he's got like a sack and a half. But if I remember, I've seen some of his pass rush lowlights, I guess you can call them, against some
bum.
Yeah, like him against what's the left tackle for the Chargers? Rashawn Slater. Like I'm pretty sure Rashawn Slater was like just putting him on the ground in one move and laying on him. Like it was that. Yeah. Like he just didn't know what to do. You know, type of
Rashawn
thing.
Slater, another guy that we were scouting hard. But I also like Jerry Tillery. He's he's kind of experienced. He's one of those more savvy guys that's just going to play the run proper. And, like, you know, you kind of got to watch for him. But
hit your quarterback late out of bounds. You know, one of those things.
You know, just, you know, regular defensive linemen stuff.
They are the Raiders. So I still always think of these guys in that kind of, you know, watch the piles, watch the cheap shots. But John Jenkins, Big John over
old
there.
Old school. Yeah,
he really should be still with us. We should have just paid him like a couple mil.
We could definitely use the depth
backup
right now.
Nose, man. Like that's I think hurting us. We don't talk about what in the draft next year, and we'll talk about that in the offseason. Like,
his picture is still in his Dolphins jersey.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, he's so big. But like he's out there. You know they got like the big run stuffers. Nothing really scary. They're again Mad Max has 9.5, and I think the rest of their D-line probably has like 5, if I had to guess. So I like our chances. Biggest concern I have is on down and distance passing situations, which has been a problem because we're not getting enough on first and second down. Our rhythm's been a little bit out of whack. You know, if it's a third and 8 or plus, I fear them using Max as a chess piece, putting him over Liam or Lester. That's crazy. Through Liam and Lester.
Shout-outs to Lester.
And just bull rushing the interior, which always causes Tua some problems up the middle. A lot of QBs problems. Those are my fears from a meat-on-meat, you know, line-on-line standpoint when we're on offense.
And I think no matter what happens with us going line-on-line, we just have to run the ducking haul. at the end of the day. I sent you all the stats earlier. In the games that we've won, we've ran the ball at least 20 times, every single win. Now, we've had two losses where we ran for less than that. And then we had one loss where we rushed for 21 times for 5.6 a carry, which isn't bad. And that was the Chiefs game.
So we – oh. And that was all – yeah, that was, you know, back end of the game. I mean, I didn't do the review with you guys. I did the preview. But that was – yeah, that was some
weird
chunk
plays. Weird play calling early. Weird stuff.
Those last four play calls of that game still will haunt me. But
We're not talking about that. But
you're right.
The Eagles game, we only ran the ball 12 times. That was not enough.
Well, that got us out of – we were out of schedule. We were out of schedule, and that's the thing.
But that keeps you out of schedule. We have – so the games that we've won, Pats game, we rushed the ball 30 times. Panthers, 33 times. Broncos, 43 times. Like, for 8.1 yards per carry. Like, dude –
It's the same thing when we were successful last year.
Raheem on 5 carries is not worth it. Raheem on 15 carries is going to get 100 yards. And if we can have A-Train back, there needs to be a heavy dosage of both. But even if it's not, we have to run the ball over 20, 25 times. We do that, and we play defense the way we were just talking about. This is a wash. They don't have the big playability to catch up.
Yeah, I would give Raheem – I would make it a targeted goal that each week Raheem and Devon need at least 12 carries at minimum, a piece. So there's your 24. And then when you need to mix it up, that's where Jeff Wilson comes in. Because he hasn't been terrible this year. I don't like Jeff Wilson, the pass catcher. I like Jeff Wilson, the runner, you know, up the in between the tackles was a head of steam. That's what I like my Jeff Wilson to do.
You got to get him going too. He's not a guy that you give the ball to 2-3 times in a game.
But six to eight carries, and if he gets on a heater, you do play it like the Niners used to do before they got McCaffrey, when they were truly dishing out carries to Raheem, Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson. Like, really do that and ride Matt the hot hand. But the biggest thing is with the backs, you know, run the ducking ball. I agree completely. They're 29th against the run, but secondly, use the backs in the passing game. What world, you know, and this is where I get a little frustrated with Tua sometimes, or the game plan, or wherever it goes, where we're forcing Tyreek or Waddle, and there's been a couple instances lately where it seems that way. The underneath is still available. Even on the third and down to Cedric, you know, whatever you want to call that play, watch Jeff Wilson on an arrow route underneath. If Tua checks that down, Jeff's there, and I think this game, where they're going to use safety over the top to combat our speed with their lack of elite cornerbacks, the middle of the field and underneath is going to eat. And I like our chances with Mostert, Devon, Wilson, whoever, balling their hands against their backers in space. I'm a big fan of that.
So what do you think the chances are that we get Devon back this week?
1,000%. I mean, I would have expected him, you know, if we weren't playing it soft this year, he probably would have played, maybe missed 1 or 2 weeks, came back with a knee brace. I didn't seem that serious, man. He still played after he injured it that game. People forget. Went back in for 3 more plays. So I wouldn't go crazy with him to the point where too much. I feel confident in if we come out with a sound strategy where a week and a half for Mike to plan, where he's gotten his ass handed to him again from a play calling perspective. I think we can agree on that. He outcoached himself again. That would scare me as a defensive coordinator, especially with an interim staff, man. This is an interim staff with a rookie fourth round QB.
And even before the interim staff, their offense wasn't really a big play offense like that anyway. This isn't really the kind of offense that they want to play against. Their wins came against teams that were doing a little bit more slower tempo games too, and they were able to have that kind of game. But when it comes to big plays, they have the lowest amount of 20-yard plus plays in the league. Obviously, we have the most. They only have 16, and Tyreek has 16 by himself. They don't have the explosion to really run with us, regardless of regime change. They're definitely going to get a morale boost continued. They're definitely going to be riding a high and wanting to take us out, because, you know, who doesn't want to take us out right now? They ain't scoring no 70 points on us, all that nonsense. So, I don't know.
You know, it was fun watching that game, but how much does 70 points mean now when, you know, God bless the Broncos. Kudos to them, man.
They could be back in the hunt. They told me that was a bad team when we beat the snot out of them.
I'm sorry, there are not many bad teams in football. There really aren't. It's a week to week league. Save it. I'm not here for it. When I watch every team struggle every week against good and bad opponents, it's not relevant. But so secondary wise, you mentioned it. I don't think they can keep up with us. Marcus Peters, who still got a knack for finding the ball, but I still think that Ravens game from last year haunts him in his sleep. So I would go at him. I think Nate Hobbs is their best player out of the cornerback group. He plays in the slot, which, you know, we would see if we mix it up and throw Jalen or Tyreek in there, but I could see him getting a little bit of Cedric, maybe a little River action. And then I read today that Amik Robertson,
he's a hitter. Yeah, he's physical. I like him.
He's in the protocol, so he's not likely to play, which would give them a fourth or third round rookie from Maryland, Ja'Corian Bennett. So again,
let's check Ja'Corian Bennett on the season.
Back end of their career, Marcus Peters, rookie cornerback.
Oof. You want to see Ja'Corian Bennett on PFF?
Yeah, what's that?
Overall, his coverage grade is a 39. His worst game was against the Jets, 32.9. His tackling seems to be suspect based off of this.
What's Peters' grade this year?
Let's check.
Just wondering.
Marcus Peters. 70.6.
Still admirable. He's not.
Yeah, because that Detroit game, he had 90.8, and then his New England game, 70.8.
Yeah, he had a pick six. He's still.
This Jets game, 45.7. But I mean, I've seen X have 45.7, and he didn't play that bad. You know what I mean?
Yep. Crossers, stuff like that. I don't think there's going to be a lot of deep shots. I could see them preventing that. So use the middle of the field, underneath routes. I do like Trevor Morig in the back end. He's a guy that was on our draft list before. You know, glad we got Javon, of course. But
and I was gonna say, like, bro, it was between those two, and everyone really liked Morig just because he didn't opt out a year. But
I didn't know much about Javon. I thought he was a cornerback, which I think he did play at Oregon.
He played more snaps at slot corner than he played at safety or boundary corner. But he played all three.
And I have a stigma against Pac-12 defensive players. Or I did, not anymore. They've definitely turned that around. But yeah, no, I agree. But he's coming into his own. He's got 50-plus tackles, 2 sacks, 2 picks. I Marcus Epps, not a bad player. He's got a lot of tackles as well. Yep. So it looks to me like I feel like we can win the line battle, you know, obviously a la save Max Crosby's side. I just don't think overthink it. Run the rock.
Run the rock and let's play instead of this bombs over Baghdad, just throw it deep on everyone. Let's play like an old school West Coast style quick passing game. Completely neutralize the pass rush. Let's get Tua back sharp on getting the fast ones
play
out.
Action.
The quick game. Yeah. And, you know, if there's a couple shots you want to take, cool. But we don't need to lean on that the way we try to do in some of these other big games. I think we need to get back to just doing what Tua does and almost getting ourselves prepped up for the rest of this stretch. I don't want to call this like a warm-up game, but it's as much of a warm-up as we're going to have the rest of the way out.
I think this one... maybe the Titans game as well, facing another rookie QB.
That's going to hurt, man.
Yeah.
That defense is very physical. As stupid as their offense is, their offensive line's pretty physical. So they're going to bang us up. That one's just going to be a helmet on helmet battering ram type of game. This one, we might be able to play some more of our finesse.
I agree. My big thing from, you know, defense perspective, I think Fangio is going to call a good game. I bait O'Connell into bad throws, overload him. He's a statue because he is a statue. And because, like we talked about earlier, their right tackle and right hand side of their O-line seems to be a liability. I'm going to overload pressure on that side, which forces him to roll out to his left, his offhand. And force passes that way. And how am I going to do that? I'm actually going to welcome back a name and use him in some blitz packages. Let's bring back Brandon Jones.
Oh,
honestly, that's get him in the game. on a specialty packages, or if he's not ready, I think he's back from the protocol, but if he's not ready to do that, then that's mix it up and X has proven he can blitz off the corner. Let's get Cater in there. Mix it up a little bit. AVG, you know, to the left-hand side of Jalen coming off the edge. Pick your poison with that. Like, you know, whatever, excuse my language, whatever you want to do.
You're good. I got them all marked. I'm going to bleep them out.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel confident about this one. I similar to me, like I did the Panthers game, where I do think we should win comfortably. If they run the ball successfully, that's the only way I see an opportunity they're staying in the game. Overthrowing the ball and throwing picks. Those are the two ways. Yes. Yes, Super Saiyan, which we haven't seen many of those. He usually does well off of those, but you know, doing too much and that. But I don't think that happens. I think we win with balance. My prediction.
Yeah, I was about to ask. What's your score prediction?
31-17 Dolphins moving to 7-3. And then getting ready on a short week to face the New York Jets, which is always a tough game, especially in their house. First Black Friday game ever, so it should be exciting.
HBO in the building, Hard Knocks release.
Hard Knocks on Tuesday, episode. Turkey Day on Thursday, tryptophan nap
We're winning, baby. Let's win two games this week.
Isn't that a 3 o'clock kickoff? That's a fun time. That's like a soccer match.
Brother, I love it. And I'm like, we're going to have two dubs in the span of 5 days.
Let's do it. What are you predicting?
So my preseason prediction, which I'm sticking with, was 40-17. So along the same lines as you,
Ouch's
was 35-16, and he made sure to mention that there would be no Jimmy G completing this game, which he might have forecasted already. But like you said, Jimmy G might come in, and odds are if Jimmy G does have to come in, he's not going to finish the game. So
Jimmy's going to Komodo on Saturday night when they land, and he's having a dinner with the best looking Miami chicks. He's showing up to the stadium an hour before, still got a little Don Julio in the system, and he's going to post up on the bench, get a little tan, and right about that third quarter when we knock out O'Connell and his hangover wears off, he's going to have to come face us.
No, just put Brian in. I'm not feeling it today, boys.
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry. I ate some bad shellfish last night. You got to put Hoyer.
Yeah, go Hoyer. But
thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you having me as always.
Love having you, bro. This was awesome. This was a blast. I'm very excited. I'm trying to be keeping myself a little bit more tame because, this season could go two losses the wrong way, and we're having a whole different vibe those last few episodes. But if we can just do the bare minimum of what we're capable of for these next three games specifically. Let's even say these next five games. If you handle the Raiders, Jets, Washington, the Titans, and the Jets one more time, the way you're supposed to, those last three games only matter so much. You're talking seeding, but the division's locked up at that point. Playoffs are locked up. And I believe since we won the division, that would be a home playoff game. So I'm cooling. That puts us going into Christmas. Who cares about Dallas? I would love to beat Lamar in Baltimore and, push for the first seed. But if that's an L, oh well. We just don't start the starters versus Buffalo in that last week, and they're probably out of the playoffs too. So,
and we get the boys ready to chip on down for, the wild card round. That needs to happen.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. So
it's going to be Pittsburgh.
Bring them. Bring them. We'll re-sign Noah for that game.
Just, there you go.
Just for intimidation factor.
All right. Peace out, boys.
All right, boys. Fins up.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air. We're on the ground. We're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami.